B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here we go.
I'm going to try to go real deep here.
Nice.
I think I'll go for a walk outside. Now the summer sun's calling my name. I hear you now, I just can't stay inside all day.
No, sir.
I gotta get out, get me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling, sunshine day. Everybody's laughing, sunshine day. Everybody seems so happy today.
Sunshine
Day. You always got to add that shot. Paul Perillo comes to us from Patriots.com, long ago dubbed Sunshine.com by the great Ed Duckworth of the Providence Journal. Paul joins us via Zoom as it all happens nowadays. Hi, Paulie. Paul, how you doing?
Hey, boys. How are you?
Hello, Pablo.
Doing good. I'm going to start you off with a question that I did not prep you for, but it's fairly straightforward, I think.
Yeah.
So let's see what you do with it. If you're a Patriots fan, off of the Monday night win over the Jets, do you feel better about your situation or worse about your situation?
It is fairly straightforward, but it's, I think, a little bit more nuanced to answer. Yeah, there wasn't a ton to feel better about.
Worse.
I will say this, you know, and all the stuff that you guys, the obvious. I mean, you're going down to the wire with a winless team. Not good. Okay. Hard to really put a happy face on that one. But I will say this. Offensively, there were signs of life, and they did move the ball, albeit against a terrible team and a terrible defense, but they moved the ball all night long. That's probably the best the offense has looked in an entire game all season. And maybe you got a little confidence off of that because you found a way to win it at the end instead of losing these games at the end the way they have a couple of other times. So maybe Cam Newton can build off of that and the offense can be better. But
So you're saying there's a potential momentum building effect from that game.
Yeah. I mean, I got there. I talked myself into it, but yeah, it's a tough one to really embrace because the opponent that you were playing is just so bad.
Paul, could you also make a case though, that the team stinks, they're not going anywhere and they screwed up their future by winning that worthless game against New York?
Yeah. The screwing up part. And I know, you know, Jim, I love you. You know, it. The screwing up part is a little bit strong, but yeah, I think you could, we've been talking about this a little bit the last couple of weeks, and you can make an argument that what's best for the team, not for the fan, but for the team might be to maximize your drafting potential. And it really isn't just about the quarterback. It's about all the different areas that this team needs. The Patriots, in other words, could use the 7th overall pick or the 9th overall pick in the draft. They could also use the 7th or 9th pick of the 2nd round in the 3rd round. They need a lot of different things on this team, and I think the higher you can pick come draft time, the better.
So you really think, I mean, like that's sort of an obvious statement, but really in the long run, after the first round, you think that really matters, whether it's 32 or 42, whether it's, you know,
to get talent,
35 or 45,
the better it is, Mike. Absolutely.
But to the point where you'd rather them lose than win.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a different real argument. Like if you're a fan of the team, the way, you know, the way we grew up. Okay. Not you, cause you didn't grow up here. But you know, the three of us, you know, the Boston teams are in our blood. So I have a hard time saying, I want them to lose.
Thank you.
I want them to better their draft spot. But I also am realistic, and I recognize that the silver lining of a loss is that you do put yourself in a better spot to get this rebuilding process started. And I do think it's time. I mean, the rebuilding is here. We need to start it. And I do think that you can make an argument for that.
Now, okay,
does that mean that it translates as I'm watching the game the other night and I'm watching Nick Folk line up a field goal to win the game, and I'm saying, geez, I hope he misses it so we can move up a couple of spots? No. First of all, the last thing I wanted the other night was overtime. So believe me, I was waiting for him to make that field goal. But no, as a fan of the team, you have to, in the moment, you know, you root for your team to do well.
So the thing is, and of course I'd rather pick 35 than 45, but I don't want to give away games, you know, to do it like that. So to me, that's not worth it. And the rebuilding has to be constant. You know, you have to draft well. And so that's whether you're 10-6 or 6-10. And the rebuilding should have been going on this whole time. So it's, right. It's not like all of a sudden Bill's going to press a button. Okay, now it's time to start drafting well. And he should have been doing this to begin with.
Well, he loaded up.
Right.
I mean,
and that's what he did a great job of for all of these years, you know, the 20 plus years. You go back and you look, and, you know, in 2008 and 2009, 2010, you have a tremendous draft in 2010. You know, and you weren't picking, you know, seventh in those years. Right. You know, 2012, excellent draft, coming off a Super Bowl, right? So, yeah, you're right. You always want to be thinking about the future and rebuilding, and they haven't done as good a job of that lately as they did earlier in Belichick's tenure. But I do think also it's easier to pick, you know, the higher you pick. You should be able to get better players, you know, closer to the top of the round. Again, I'm not advocating losing, and we've talked about this a lot with you guys. And when people start to say, you know, were they trying to win the game? Are they tanking? No, the guys on the field, this means a lot to the guys on the field.
Sure.
Right? Many players that were playing in that game, especially with the Jets the other night, they're fighting for their NFL lives, right? They're not worried about whether or not, you know, we're going to be able to get Trevor Lawrence in the draft. They're worried about, can I get good film out there so people can see that I belong in the NFL? You know, Harvey Longy is a kid that was flying around that field the other night for the Jets. He's barely an NFL player. He's right on the cusp. You know, he's trying to fight and show everybody that he belongs in the league. And I think that's the way you approach it. The players are out there trying to give it their all. Organizationally, that may be a different story.
So, Paul, are there any quarterbacks you like in the draft next year? And when you look at it, you know, again, let's be realistic and say the Patriots are picking somewhere around, let's just call it 12. Would you take one? Who would you take? And where would you take them?
I don't know exactly where they fall. I'm not, you know, I watch a lot of college football, but I'm not an expert of telling you, oh, that guy has the look of like a, you know, a 10 to 20 in the first round kind of player. I don't really know how to stack them as well. But in terms of quarterbacks, it is, I am intrigued by a couple of guys. The kid from BYU, Zach Wilson, you know, I don't know. Their schedule is not great. He looks really good playing against the competition that he does. And the other kid that kind of intrigues me that really hasn't been on many people's radar is Trask from Florida. You know, ridiculously productive with the Gators. And that's an offense that has had a hard time, over the last 4 or 5 years until he took over last year. And suddenly that offense has been really productive. Not a lot of people have him really even in the first round conversation. So I wonder if he'll move up a little bit. But the other guys, you know, Justin Fields, I don't think is really in the picture. Lawrence obviously is not. And Trey Lance is a guy I think that a lot of people are interested in that I, quite frankly, haven't seen play enough to intelligently talk about.
Paul, what the hell's going on with Stephon Gilmore? So I just saw that, Jeff Howe and others that cover the team, you know, that are able to go down there as well, say that he didn't practice today due to the knee injury. It's kept him out the last couple of games. Practice yesterday, then there was the whole snafu with him not on the injury report, then on the injury report, and then he tweets everything happens for a reason. What's going on? Is he going to play again, ever?
Yeah, I mean, it is an interesting question. And the tweets are funny because, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm lockstep with Mike about the whole social media thing. Like, do that on your own time. Hmm. If you're going to give us all these, you know, cryptic tweets and not explain them, don't waste my time. If you're going to want to come out and tell me something, I'm here to listen. I don't really like to try to interpret what he's talking about. Or I really do think that he was sort of anticipating getting traded a couple of weeks ago. I don't know what this knee injury, the status is. I really do think it was probably an honest mistake yesterday. I think he should have been on the injury report. I can't fathom that a guy missed two games and then the next time they went out to practice, he's completely removed from the report. That doesn't make any sense. To me, that was probably a clerical error, but I don't know what's keeping him off the field. I don't know how close he is. I don't know if this is partly due to injury and partly due to a bruised ego, some kind of a, you know, pissing contest between the two sides. I don't have any information on that whatsoever, but it is something worth, worth thinking about and talking about because your team's best corner hasn't played the last two games and doesn't seem to be all that happy.
This guy's bugging me.
My money's on the spitting match.
Yeah.
What was it, Karen Garrigan, when he missed the game in Buffalo, and that was the one right around the deadline, right? Didn't Karen Garrigan report he has an injury, but it's not serious?
I don't remember what.
Okay, so I think that's what she reported, that the injury is legitimate, but it's not serious. Well, then why hasn't he played in 3 weeks?
Yeah, this will be three games now, and if he's not able to get back out there for this game, then you have to wonder: is it just that he's refusing to play?
And I think Bill's sticking it to him.
And it all, or the other way around, it all started with the week before the trade deadline, his house goes on the market. He ends up on the Thursday or the Friday on the injury report late, and we haven't seen him since. And this thing yesterday where, again, you actually, it was an honest mistake, but that sort of reeks. He's out there. He's not on the report. Then later on in the day, it's like, oh, whoops, we meant to put him on. And then he tweets out more cryptic nonsense. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Yeah. They gave you your money, all right? So, like, what? Yeah, stick it out 8 more games.
So I think look, again, he can move him during the offseason, but if I were Belichick at this stage, I wouldn't play him. I wouldn't. I mean, and you know what? I'm sort of reading into the stuff here, but I think that when Bill gets into some of these contractual things with guys, he's not afraid to bury some of them. Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. Wes Welker wasn't totally buried, but he was on his way that year until Edelman got hurt. Would not shock me if J.C. Jackson now takes over there. What about you? Do you think I'm on to something, or is that bullcrap?
Yeah, well, I think some of the examples that you used might be relevant. I think the Welker one is relevant. Right, that was the year that he signed the franchise tender, and a lot of people thought that caught the team by surprise a little bit. And he didn't play very much initially, and then all of a sudden he was back because of injuries. Malcolm Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl. I don't think that had anything at all to do with anything contract related. This one, but like I'm not sure what Bill benefits from not playing him. How does Bill?
How does it hurt him?
Know.
Oh, because J.C. Jackson got his tire marks all over his back.
I was going to say, J.C. Jackson's team sucks either way. The last 2 weeks. Well, you know, a lot of people overlooked the Stephon Diggs. I think it was 6 for 92 in Buffalo, because really Buffalo didn't pass in that game. They only threw the ball, I think, 18 times. They hardly, you know, but when they threw it, they did it successfully. And a lot of it was at J.C. Jackson, but he came up with an interception on the one time where they weren't on the same page. Same kind of deal this week. Only it was much more glaring because he got beat for touchdowns. And I think people recognize that a little bit more. Jackson's a guy that he's a competitive player, but I think a lot of people started to put him in a category that I don't think he's yet to achieve. And I think you saw a little bit of that the last 2 weeks. He's not yet the number one corner. Maybe he'll develop into that, but I don't think he's ready for it yet.
Certainly came back to earth. And if anyone's jerking around Patriots v. Gilmore, I'm going Gilmore. They gave him five or six extra million bucks. What? And then, so, like, you think the Kraft's going to be happy with that? Wait a minute. Bill, we had to write him a check for $6 million that we didn't owe him until next year, and now you're going to bury him because you're in some sort of ping match? Like, no, I don't think this is the year to be doing that sort of stuff. So if anyone's jerking around, my guess is it's Gilmore. We're going to take a break here, Paul. We're going to come back. I want your thoughts on where the Patriots stand vis-a-vis the Ravens. Is the door ajar this week? With the Baltimore Ravens, are they vulnerable? Are you capable of taking advantage of that vulnerability? And I know we have a little thought on Jacoby Myers and his emergence now that a certain quarterback is somewhere else. Let's get to that as well right after these words.
Tucker Pass. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Say it.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Cam told us after the game that he sat down and had a chat with you a couple weeks ago about, hey, bro, like, I don't think you realize how well you could play, or perhaps you could be even more confident in your game. What do you remember from that chat, and what did you feel like during and after?
I just remember him pretty much telling me that I was selling myself short, that I have potential. All I had to do is just live up to it and go out there and just show the coaches what I can do. And it was crazy because right after that, I mean, I got my opportunity to actually play a couple plays and make up plays here in the San Fran game, a couple plays here in the Bills game. And then, like, I got the opportunity to play a major role in the last game. So, like he was saying, pretty much just stop selling myself short. I could be beneficial to the team if I just go out there, put my best effort every day, show the coaches that they can trust me to play and that I'm reliable, and it ended up leading to good things.
All right, that was Jacoby Myers on the support and Well, a pep talk he got from Cam Newton, but really just a support of Cam Newton, which got Maz thinking about what?
Okay, so this is now the second time that we've seen this. Earlier in the year, he was talking about N'Keal Harry, and he pumped him up. And I'm not telling you N'Keal Harry was great after that. But the point is, I think Cam Newton is a good teammate. I think he's a better teammate now than Tom Brady was last year. I think that's really what it comes down to in a nutshell. I like this part of Newton. I like the fact that he taps into these young guys. He encourages them. He tries to give them confidence. In the case of Myers, I think it's helping. I don't think it's the sole reason Myers is where he is, but I don't think it hurts, and I think Brady hurt the cause. And again, to me, Cam Newton 2020 versus Tom Brady 2019, Newton's a way better teammate.
I'm sorry, Paul, you have a thought on that?
Yeah, the Cam Newton part I would wholeheartedly agree with. I think he's been excellent in terms of off the field and in the locker room and with the players. And as you know, the way that Maz phrased it, as a teammate, I think he's been excellent. I think he's been very supportive and said a lot of the right things at all the times. I think he's taken responsibility and all that. I just would stop short in saying that, you know, the problem was Brady last year. You know, if you're going to say it the way Tony did and say maybe Cam Newton's been a better teammate in 2020 than Tom Brady was in 2019, I probably wouldn't disagree with that. I think that's probably accurate. I just don't want to constantly put all the problems of the lack of talent right now in the structure around, especially on offense, was all Tom Brady's fault because he didn't encourage these guys.
He was part of the problem, though, Paul.
Yeah, I don't think it was any of the problem, and I don't think it's any of it now. I think these guys are having a hard time playing. And out of all of the guys that have been sort of thrown out there, it looks like Jacoby Myers is a guy, and I give him all the credit in the world for doing it, for taking advantage of the opportunities. I think that, you know, you have to ask yourself where he was earlier in the year. Why wasn't he playing? Why wasn't he getting any opportunities? Was it because Tom Brady talked bad about him last year? Is that why he didn't play the first month of the season? I don't think so. I think he's gotten an opportunity, and I give Myers all the credit for this. I think Myers has taken advantage of his opportunities the last few weeks. And he had a monster game Monday night, you know, 12 for 169. But last year when he got a chance to play as a complimentary piece, you know, fourth or fifth option, he did all right. He played reasonably well when he was with Brady. He just didn't have the opportunities that he's had the last couple of weeks. That's not Brady's fault. I know that everybody likes to make it out that way, but I don't really view that as a Tom Brady issue.
Yeah, he didn't help matters. To me, that's how I look at it. Brady didn't help.
Let's bring him back because he leads the league in niceness and being a good teammate.
Yeah. I'm just telling you that I think with some of these young guys, look, Brady went to Tampa, and one of the first things he said was, geez, yeah, I think I forgot how hard it is to come in and learn a new playbook. Oh, well, that's convenient now that it's you. It was when it was the other guys, it was their problem, not yours. The fact is that we now know this as a fact. He had mentally checked out, at least for him. His investment was still better, and at that level was still better play or produced better play than a lot of quarterbacks in the league. But relatively, look at how he's invested in these young guys in Tampa now. Like, it's apples and oranges. He was halfway out the door last year.
Like, the other stuff, I think you're right, and I agree with. I think he did check out mentally last year. I don't think he was a great teammate last year. This whole thing, this coddling young guys stuff, I think Jacoby Myers, you know, is a guy that is, he's an interesting case. First of all, he's a converted college quarterback who converted to a slot receiver type. He's not really the traditional kind of body type for that we're used to. He's more of a physical guy, and it took him a while. It was a transition, and I think that he was having a hard time, you know, picking some of the things up. I think he was making a lot of the same mistakes. This is some of the things that were told to me last year. And again, this summer, he was a fringe guy. He was really a borderline guy to make the team. And I think they had some guys banged up, some guys that didn't work out. And there was an opportunity for him to stick around. Now, again, I give him all the credit in the world for taking that opportunity and running with it. He's been an excellent addition to the offense the last couple of weeks and really has made me think, what they saw, you know, in N'Keal Harry, that he was warranting more playing time than Jacoby Myers. Because I understand, like, inside, outside, I don't care. This team needed some options in the passing game. And to me, Myers has proven to be a much better option than Harry ever was.
Agreed. I'll blame the team for not, you know, giving this guy more run earlier in the season. But I just think, Paul, in another time and place, this would have been a good guy for Brady. You know, ultimately, again, as a former quarterback, this is what Newton said, you know, earlier in the week or after the game, that he sees the field like a quarterback, and you can tell, like, he does know how to run routes. He does know, he can tell man versus zone. He can tell inside leverage versus outside leverage. And I don't know how many guys you have like that. And even if he's not the fastest or, you know, any of that, I think Brady over his career showed, you know, a great propensity to work with those kind of guys. And I just think if he had Jacoby Myers 10 years ago, he would have been a great guy for Brady.
Yeah, I just think that Brady, he's one of the few guys last year that Brady actually gave some opportunities to. He threw him the ball a little bit. And I think especially when Dorsett was out of the equation for a little while there, he ended up getting involved a little bit. He was a third, fourth option. He never had last year, as bad as they were offensively last year, Jacoby Myers never went into a game as the number one option the way he has the last 2 weeks. I think Brady did throw the ball to him a little bit last year, and he did show a little bit of faith in him. I think he was much more willing to throw the ball to him than he was Harry when Harry came back in the second half of the year. Now, Myers didn't light it up. Maybe he had 20, I don't even remember what he had, but
23
something catches, you know, like not a great rookie year by any stretch, but I do think that Brady threw the ball to him a little bit. And I agree with your assessment, Mike. I think this is a guy that 5 years ago, Tom would have been much more willing to say, hey, this guy we might have something with this guy. But I do think, the phrase that Tony used, checked out with Tom last year. I agree with that.
Okay, so we'll see what it's worth. I still want your thoughts on where the Patriots stand right now. Any momentum from Monday night? Any chance against the Ravens? And your calls, I promise. We'll go right to your calls after Big Jim Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
My calls with Paul Perillo, as promised. Our buddy Chris is in Raynham. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Felger, I really appreciated the 2 hours of Celtics talk instead of what we should be having is Tom Brady and going for the first place for the number one seed against the Ravens or competing against the Chiefs. This is what you get now when you get rid of Tom Brady, and I've warned you against this for years that this is the end result. We got 2 hours of Celtics draft talk. I know you have some Celtics fans out there, but we should be talking about football, and that is not something you would be talking about if the Patriots team was competitive.
Let me just stop you. I'm not going to drop you, but 2 points. One, you think you'd be vying for the number one seed with this roster, even with Tom Brady back here this year?
I think they would be a competitive team.
Well, I mean, you really answered. They'd absolutely be better, but you were 4-5 in your last nine last year?
Yep.
So, I mean...
Okay, so they lost three games by one score, and at the end of the game this year, Cam Newton couldn't come through in the clutch. Do you think Tom Brady would come through in the clutch 3-for-3 in those situations? Yes. So that flips...
No, I don't think 3-for-3. I don't think 3-for-3. I think at least one or two of them, for sure, but not 3-for-3. Last time he played Seattle, he had the ball in the same spot Cam Newton did, and he failed too. Sorry.
So what do you think their record would be with Tom Brady then?
So instead of, they'd be probably 5-3.
5-3. Okay, so still more competitive against a 6-2 Ravens team.
Yes.
So you'd be going for the number two. So football would be more fun. Football would be more competitive around here. Instead, we're talking about tanking or not tanking, and that's the conversation that we have that Bill chose to go in with this move.
Okay, well, I don't think they should tank. And no one's really having that conversation other than people like you. So I don't think the team's having that conversation. I don't think anyone else is really having that conversation. And look, the football hasn't been great, but we talk 90% Patriots. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, we're ignoring the Patriots because they're 3-5. What, do you listen?
And to me, this doesn't have anything to do with Brady not being here. It has to do with what they did, or more importantly, did not do to replace him. That's the part of it that I focus on. Brady was going to go sooner or later, and honestly, I think they were late on it. That's my opinion now, and I understand why.
The biggest second guess is that why weren't we doing this with the draft class and looking at quarterbacks in the first? Why weren't we doing this for 2 years? Why weren't they doing it? That's the biggest second
Absolutely.
Guess.
Absolutely. To me, that's the issue.
As soon as Garoppolo left, you knew the clock was ticking on Brady, and you should have been addressing this way earlier than they did. They still haven't addressed it.
And Chris and Rain, and look, again, you know, I respect Chris's calls, and I do, and I mean that sincerely. Brady wanted out. Like, why do you conveniently overlook that part of it? Brady asked out in 2017, after the 2017 Super Bowl, 2018 that year. He wanted out for 2 years. So, you know, to me, again, they were late. He didn't want to be here anymore either. Don't delude yourself on that one.
Paul, you have a thought before I go back to the phones?
Yeah, and I would just say, you know, adding to what you guys are talking about, I would just say that this is about a lot more than the quarterback. I agree with you guys. Basically, you saw this team last year with a far easier schedule not be a contender with Tom Brady. I mean, I know they went 12-4, and that looked a lot better. But we all know, first of all, they didn't even get a bye, let alone vying for the number one seed.
Thank you.
And we saw what happened down the stretch. They were 4-5 when they started playing real teams. This is about a lot more than the quarterback. The talent on the roster has gradually deteriorated over the years, and it goes back to nothing new. There's nothing I'm going to say that you guys haven't heard or talked about a million times. The last 4 or 5 draft classes haven't been good. And they don't have enough young players with talent on this roster to pick up the slack from the way that they always used to. They don't have it right now, and it's going to take some time. Whether Brady was here or not, those were the facts. They would have a better record right now if Tom Brady were on the team. I sincerely believe that. I don't think they'd be any closer to being a contender than they are now.
But some would tell you, Paul, that there's a path. Do you believe in the path?
Okay, I don't believe in a path for 2020. I believe the path is to rebuild. That's the path that they're on and that they should be on. I think they're doing it the right way.
Path to the playoffs.
No, they're not going to the playoffs this year. I mean,
there's no path.
There's no path there.
Yes, there is. There's a path.
Close the path. Defeat them.
I will say, put
a headline on that and put it on the web.
If COVID, you know, forces a couple of teams ahead of them to have to suspend operations, that's the path.
That's it. It's going to take the end of the world.
There's too many teams in front of them that have to lose too many games. They're playing each other. They can't lose them all.
But they don't have to lose them all. We've gone through the schedules. We've looked at. There's a path. There's a path at 9-7.
You've gone through schedules and penciled in wins for a team that is 3-5.
Yeah,
that's the path. No, the path is that all of a sudden the team that we've seen for half a season is going to completely disappear, and we're going to get a different team in the second half of the season.
Well, that happens all the time.
Suddenly win these games.
Well, that happens all the time. They get better and they have a better second half than first half, or vice versa, like last year.
They've never played 8 games at the level that they've played right now, not since 2000.
Well, no, this is true, but it does happen all the time. You have a bad first half, you have a good second half, or vice versa, like I just said.
They have a bad first half in like,
I'm just saying,
2011.
It happens to teams.
What was their record?
5-3.
They went 13-3.
Yeah, they went 8-0 in the second half, though. They sucked in the first 7 games.
Good job, Mass. I mean, why can't they just flip what they did last year?
That's absurd. To compare that to this is absurd.
Murray.
They can't score on any kind of a consistent basis.
Tell them.
They can't stop you from scoring on any kind of a consistent basis, but suddenly they're going to win 8 in a row.
Jimmy Stewart.
Who said 8 in a row?
Could you reach out to our web department?
That's what it's going to take, Mike.
No, it's not.
They're going to need to win 10 games to make the playoffs.
I think it's 9. I think there's a path at 9.
They're not winning 9 either.
Okay, well, but to say that, you know, the whole premise is that they get better. You know, they improve and they're...
Oh, I think they will get better.
Thank you.
They would have to substantially get better to win 8
maybe,
or 7.
Maybe get some luck, maybe face some teams that are vulnerable, like maybe this
That's
week.
What
Tommy,
I said. You got
hold
the,
on. Tommy and Lynn.
Could be a possibility.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Go ahead, Tommy. Go.
What's up? Hey, Paul, you remember me from Lynn? You remember me at the Babe Ruth Field? You remember that, Paul?
I remember you, Tom. I remember you, Tommy. How are you, bud?
Good. And what were you saying to me like a couple months ago about the Patriots record? I wanted to ask you about that. You remember that?
No, I don't, Tommy. Just give me your thought this week. Can the Pats win this week?
Yes, we could win, and I think we're going to be a 9-7 team, Falga. I agree with you and Matt still. I haven't
Attaboy,
jumped
Tommy.
Off the ship.
Attaboy. Yeah. There's a path, Tommy. There's a path. There is a path, Paul. I'm not saying how realistic it is.
9-7 doesn't get it done, but anyway.
It will. I'll explain it to you.
No. More importantly, Jimmy Stewart, get Ty Anderson in the web department on the phone. This is the headline. Patriots employee, colon, we have no chance of making the playoffs. That's what the headline is in the story.
That's more of an NBC Sports Boston take. You know, when I go on those shows, you know, we haven't been able to do it with COVID, but you'd say like the most innocent thing, and all of a sudden I'd look the next day and
headline.
There'd be Perillo colon. I'd be like, I didn't say that.
Oh, I love it. That's no, they're doing their jobs there. Murray, what's your slogan here for this?
Close the path and defeat the math. Just one more loss. So I can stop hearing about this
so-called
path and how it's good for the culture.
This isn't going to go away. You're talking about if they lose to Baltimore?
No.
Jim, it's not going to go away.
It's not until they lose to Arizona. You know, that's the one afterwards.
Why does it have to be Arizona? They could lose to anybody. They just proved that Monday night.
Well, this
they?
Is what I'm talking about. I'm giving
his
them
web of lies. Anytime you actually try to push back and, well, there's no way they'll win that game. Nope, that's a win. Win. Look at this. Oh, nope, no chance there. There, see, there's the path. 9-7.
There is the path.
Oh, yeah.
At 9-7.
You can just say they're going to win all the games, and there's the path.
Right.
And then
exactly.
You can say the five teams ahead of them are going to lose all their games. To make a path.
No, it's lunacy.
I don't think it's unrealistic to think they're going to win at Houston with one win or home against Arizona in a driving sleet storm.
I think
freezing...
it's unrealistic to do that. Why is it all of a sudden a driving rainstorm?
Because I'm putting that driving rainstorm there. It's what it's going to take.
Okay. It's called leading the witness, Paul.
But it's not
totally... painting the picture.
It's not unrealistic that the weather's going to suck in Arizona and a 1 p.m. start is not going to show. That's entirely realistic. Can they split in L.A.? Realistic. And then can they run the table with some momentum against the AFC East? It's possible.
So teams that are 2 and 3 games better than them right now, they're going to beat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, you get that right.
I mean,
yeah.
6 upsets and it could happen. I
yep.
get it.
Yep.
I mean, it totally could happen.
But after the third upset, they won't be upset.
Upset.
Anymore.
Hold on. Are they going to be underdogs at Houston?
No.
Okay, so that's not an upset. Are they going to be underdogs home Arizona on November 29th?
Yes.
Maybe. Yes.
We don't know.
They will be.
Couple points.
Who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah, they'll be within a field goal. How big of an upset is that, Paul?
They'll be underdogs at the Rams.
Okay, they may
be underdogs at Miami.
They may be underdogs at the two LA games.
And they may even be underdogs at home against Buffalo.
Okay, but the only game where they are, excuse me.
Getting choked up with crap.
Listen, when they get to 5-5, they won't be underdogs anymore.
So you have them beating so
what
is the Rams
not
an upset either? I just want to get these all straight, you know. Is that an upset if they win Sunday?
What are you snacking over there?
Of course. Hold on.
Well, how are you gonna get to 5-5 without winning Sunday?
Give me grief for snacking during the show.
The only game where they're going to be prohibitive underdogs are Sunday. The rest of them, they're either going to be favored or slight underdogs. That's all. Go 5-1 in those last games. They're at 9-7. There's a path.
Wasn't that the case in the first half of the year? You were either favored or a slight underdog?
Exactly, and they're going to be better.
And they went 3-5.
But you don't think they have it. You just said they are going to get better.
COVID.
Yeah, so do the other teams get better, Mike.
Maybe. Some get worse.
Okay.
I mean, it's like I'm talking Swahili that you've seen a team go on a run in the second half against winnable teams.
I can't believe a Patriots employee is this negative.
No, it's unbelievable.
It's not negative.
It's just realistic.
This is what I think is for the organization. Yeah. I'm trying to do what's right here. I'm trying to be realistic, and I'm trying to think of what's best for the team.
And don't
fighting, scrapping, clawing, and winning 7 games to make the playoffs is not what's best for the team.
9.
It's not going to help.
Win 9 games. Yes, it will. It'll absolutely help. And wait. Until they beat the Ravens, and then what are you going to do?
Sunshine.com, my ass.
That's a good upset.
That'd be a great... If they beat the Ravens, it's a great win.
Hold on, let's pick that up.
This is more like darkandstormy.com.
Is the door ajar against the Ravens? Are they vulnerable? Let's talk about that in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz get all their inside information?
I heard from a guy at a cocktail party.
Always relying on their credible sources. Felger and Maz, the show to come to when sports news breaks.
Oh!
From the eye test, it looks like things aren't coming as easy for you this year. Is that a safe way to look at it? That things.
I feel you know, it's a lot of with schemes. You know, we're going against defenses. They calling out our plays, stuff like that. Like they know what we're doing. So a lot of that, you know, sometimes you know stuff won't go our way if they beat us to the punch.
So you're hearing on the other side of the line of scrimmage the defense calling out your plays?
That's what they definitely do, like runs, stuff like that. Watch out for this, watch out for that. Sometimes that's what's going on. So
how do you combat that, Lamar?
So I guess we're going to halftime and let coach, you know, let us know what he sees upstairs,
mm-hmm.
and we just go from there.
That's a comment that's gotten a lot of attention. Lamar Jackson, I'm with Rich Eisen the other day. Says defenses are calling out our stuff, beating us to the punch. The numbers are down in Baltimore. His passing stats are way down. He hasn't been breaking off nearly as many long runs as he did in his MVP season last year. And so I sort of wonder, Paul, are the Ravens vulnerable? Is the arrow pointing down on them, et cetera? Do you think there's is the door ajar at all this Sunday night?
Yeah, I really don't think so. I do think that the arrow is sort of flat for Baltimore. They haven't looked as good so far this season as they did last year. Certainly not as dynamic. All the things that you mentioned, I think, are accurate. The numbers are down across the board for Lamar Jackson. And I do think there's an element of, you know, teams have gotten a little bit more comfortable defending him. And I don't think he's made the progress as a passer that, you know, probably John Harbaugh and Greg Roman would have hoped for. 36 touchdowns last year in 15 games. He's got 12 right now through eight. So that's a huge drop. If he ends up with 24 touchdowns, even, you know, that's a big drop off from what he did a year ago. They're searching. And I wonder, you know, if the stuff that he just sort of threw out there, the way he said it, you know, it's almost like, is he making an excuse? Is he questioning his coaching? It was kind of odd phraseology there, you know, when he's talking about they're calling out our plays and whatnot.
I think he's definitely calling out the coaching.
And I think he's making an excuse, too. I mean, they sort of go hand in hand. It could be both.
Both.
Yeah.
Both. Yeah.
Because,
so,
again,
I do think that they're a little vulnerable, I think, offensively. But with all that said, they remain number one in the league in rushing. And they remain, you know, pretty much it's going to be 24 points minimum every week. You don't see them really getting shut down completely. And their defense is really good. When healthy. Now they're going to be missing some pieces, it looks like, Sunday night. So we'll see how they adjust to that. But they're a pretty good defense on both sides against the run and the pass. They're top 10. They're the best scoring defense in football. I don't know where the Patriots get points if the Ravens don't turn it over.
Points come from them on, quote unquote, and I feel corny even saying this, unleashing Cam Newton and getting back to the thing where he's running around all over the place. Where's that been the last couple of weeks? And could they have been saving it for a night like Sunday?
I don't know. He ran 10 times the other night.
Well, there were sneaks.
A lot of sneaks, yeah. The game before that against Buffalo, they ran a little more.
Yeah, you can do that. I don't think that will really bother the Ravens much at all. And I wonder, you know, in the passing game, I don't think you'll see all the soft zones that the Jets played if Baltimore plays them the way they normally do, you know, with Peters and Smith. And I think Marlon Humphrey's going to be back. They have three good corners. Jimmy Smith hasn't practiced this week, so that might be a guy they're missing. And they're also missing a big piece up front in Calais Campbell. That's a significant injury for them. He's going to miss this game. But, I just look at Baltimore defensively is really good.
You're not helping the narrative, Paul.
Well, it's okay. I just say
they're going to win the game, and, you know, and that's why there's a path, because I just said they're going to beat a team that they probably aren't anywhere near as talented as. But listen, it's the NFL. Pittsburgh went into Dallas last week.
Thank you.
And Dallas is throwing a pass to CeeDee Lamb in the end zone to win the game in the last play.
Thank you.
It falls incomplete. They lose. So I'm not dismissing the possibility that in the NFL you can upset a team. I don't think we'll be sitting here writing about this story in 20 years, the night that the Patriots beat the Ravens in the middle of the 2020 season if they win. It would be a significant upset, however.
Okay.
I'd take the Pats plus the points this week.
I like the Pats this week. And the more I think about it, the more I like it.
Jimmy Clippett, he's made his prediction.
But, yeah, I got the Pats this week, straight up.
Okay.
And in no way am I saying they're better than the Ravens. Like, that's not what this is about. Like, the Patriots.
Oh, it's about your take.
The Patriots roster, it is partly about my take. The Patriots roster is wretched. There's no doubt about it. Maybe they get some guys back. Maybe they get a little wind at their sails. Maybe things happen. Maybe Baltimore is vulnerable. which I think they are. The question is, are they vulnerable to you? And that's, you know, that's sort of the question. But I don't know. Home Sunday night. And I don't think the Pats are trying to lose. I think they're trying to win.
Gilmore's quit, wrecking the locker room.
Well, he's bugging the crap out of me. I will grant you that. Just real quick on Lamar Jackson. I wonder about Lamar Jackson. I have questions about Lamar Jackson. Because there's like been a bunch of little things that have just added up for me with him about, I don't know if it's maturity or leadership or what. But there's, and again, they're all small things. But they've added up. Like, for example, do you remember in the offseason, there was that clip of him playing touch football on the beach, and he does that flip over the jet ski.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On the beach, it's like, Lamar, what are you doing? You know, you easily could have ripped your knee going ass over tea kettle over that stupid jet ski, screwing around on the beach. Like, what? That's your franchise right there. That's your whole career right there. What are you doing, jacking around? You're like, and it was like he was going a million miles an hour. And did this flip over it. And I like, it's just like, do you get it? The way they lost that playoff game last year, like they were all that. That whole team, were they not peacocking like you read about before that game?
That to me is far more concerning. His body language, when they got down early, and you're the one seed, you're home for the playoffs, divisional round, you got the bye. They're down early in that game, and it's like he just looked bad.
So, and let me just give you the last one again. It's really small, but so I don't want to like overplay it, but. There was this play last week, this great play where he scored on a rushing touchdown where I think it was Andrews, their tight end, did this drive block where Andrews like got a hold of this defensive back and must have driven him 10 yards into the end zone. It was just one of these great blocks like that make a highlight reel. And Lamar Jackson runs right behind him. He clears the way for him to get into the end zone and score this touchdown. It was just an amazing block. And Andrews turns around to give him a high five or whatever. And Lamar Jackson's too busy doing his, he's riding the pony or doing some sort of stupid dance. And he sort of, like, just completely ignores his teammate who completely cleared out the whole side of the field for him. And, you know, I'm just like, Lamar, did you see how you got into the end zone?
Buying into his own hype.
I mean, what? So, I it all sort of file under... I don't know if he gets it. I don't know if he gets it. Now, I also don't know if you're good enough to make it count, but I got questions about that guy.
Yeah, I do too. And there are, you know, a couple of things. I'll throw one in the pile that you just made there, Mike. You know, after that loss to the Titans, I think at some point in the offseason, he had a quote, on a radio interview or something where he said that they took them lightly and they overlooked and they were overconfident going into that game, which is something that even if it's true, you would never admit publicly. And shortly after John Harbaugh really, you know, had to douse that fire, right? No. We didn't overlook. That was just a dumb thing to say. I thought it was an immature thing to say. And there have been signs of that. And I do. That's why I mentioned the whole thing. You know, yes, you're throwing your coaches under the bus, but you're also making excuses for yourself and not playing well. Because I think the bottom line is he's not throwing the ball as well. You know, he didn't. I think a lot of people, myself included, I didn't think that he would ever throw the ball the way he did last year, coming off his rookie year. And to see that progression from year one to year two, I was thinking we'd see something else like that this year and they wouldn't have to rely on him running as much. Well, the opposite has happened. He's having to run just as much as he did last year because he's not throwing it as well as he did. You see in Hollywood Brown complain about his role and, you know, maybe the thing that you mentioned with Mark Andrews, maybe that's a thing. I just wonder about the maturity a little bit. But these are things you have to work through. I think they're an immensely talented team, and we'll see if they waste the talent.
Okay, Paul. Maybe off the air, I'll go over the path with you. It's there. It's there at 9 and 7.
I can't help myself. I listen to way too much You Two Morons, and I know what the path is. It's everybody else stinks. You're good, and you win. And that's the path.
Okay. Nope. Things happen. That's the path. Paul, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
See you, Paulie.
All right, Paul. Guys. Looking forward to next week already.
Okay, we got your calls next hour out there. We're going to reset the Celtics stuff. There is some developing rumors out there with the Celtics as we head into their, you know, the meat of the NBA offseason. The draft is in a week. NBA free agency begins a week from tomorrow. And the Celtics are involved in some rumors involving some of your players out the door, some players coming in. We'll give you the very latest and what we think they might be doing and what we want them to do. And we'll do that all in 90 seconds after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.